We have road signs, and they help us to drive safely, but we need someone to make them clear what they mean. And in the story of God's people in the Bible, sometimes the prophets would tell people what to do, and sometimes they did a visual aid. For example, there is one story where a king had disobeyed God, and he sent the prophet, and the prophet took his cloak along, witness a cloak, and in front of the king, he cut the cloak until there were 12 pieces. I hope I remember what the rest of the service is about, but we'll get there, I'm sure, somewhere. And he gave 2 pieces to the king, and he gave 10 pieces he kept behind. And he said, that's what's going to happen to this country. 2 tribes will form one nation, and 10 tribes will form the other. And the people of God knew that sometimes God spoke through pictures and through actions. And here, on Palm Sunday, Jesus wanted to speak to all the people in a way that they could see what was happening. And so we have a picture of Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And that would have been understood by all the people, that Jesus at last was coming out in the open. He was declaring his hand. He was throwing down the gauntlet. He was declaring it was his hour. For by riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, he was declaring that he was nothing else and nothing less than the king they had looked forward to for generations. Because 500 years before, the prophet Zechariah had told the people, when you see this sign, then you know the king is on the move. See, said Zechariah, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a foal, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, the disciples of Jesus who were with them, they'd heard Jesus teach with authority like no one else. They'd seen Jesus do miracles that had left them jaw open, staggered at the power of God. But they'd also known that throughout this time, as he moved around Galilee in the north and Judah in the south, he'd said, now don't tell anyone what you've come to know, that I am the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one of Israel. But now all that cover is past. Jesus has gone public. And the crowd said, he's declared himself to be the king. No wonder they got excited. Because you see, they were longing for a king to come to set them free, from the Romans who occupied their country, who took their money, who oppressed them. And here is Jesus saying, I am the king. No wonder the people were excited on that first Palm Sunday. However, although they saw the sign, they didn't see it fully. Because in the Old Testament, there was a picture of a king who would come on a white horse to come at the head of an army to set the people free. And there was another picture of a king coming on a donkey as a sign of peace, not of war. And Jesus was the king, but he had come to bring peace and to make peace. Not peace, first of all, between the Jews and the Romans, but between all the people and God. For between the people and God was the fact that people hadn't listened to God, hadn't lived for God, had done things wrong before God. And until that was sorted, then God seemed far away and far off. And he also wanted to break down the barriers and bring peace between the Jews and the Romans, the Jews and the Gentiles, men and women, slave and free, rich and poor, black and white. I have come to make peace, but I have come as a king. Now, if we were thinking about a king, today, what might we think about? Well, kings. Kings, of course, have a palace and riches. All kings have expensive clothes. They've got money and land, and they live in beautiful palaces. Was Jesus like that? No, he wasn't. When he was born, he wasn't put in a beautiful crib in a royal palace. Luke says he was wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger because there wasn't any room in the inn. And later, as he was traveling around telling people about God's kingdom, he said, "The foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head." He wasn't the kind of king who had a palace or riches. He wouldn't have worn a purple robe, but would have dressed just like the ordinary people all around him. Well, you might say, well, surely a king has power and servants. That's what a king has. They tell people what to do, and they have to do it. And they have servants ready to do their every whim and will. Was Jesus like that? No, he wasn't. When a couple of his disciples started arguing about who was the most important, Jesus said, "Listen, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And when they had a meal together in Holy Week, it was Jesus who got on his knees and washed the dirty feet of his friends, the disciples. He didn't come to bring power or servants. And then we might say, well, maybe a king has a crown and a throne. Kings have special seats to sit in, and they wear special crowns. Was Jesus like that? No, the only crown he had was when the soldiers taunted him and stuck sharp thorns in a ring around his head. And the only throne he would have to which people would be below him would be a cross. And so on Palm Sunday, when we welcome Jesus as the King who has come to bring peace, we have to tear away all the ideas of palaces and riches and power and servants and crowns and thrones, and to realize that what he'd come to do was something far more important than that. He'd come to bring peace, to break away the chains of sin. He'd come not to chase the Romans out, but to lay down his life. He'd come as the King of love, to rule over those who open their hearts to him in love. And because the crowd didn't want a king like that, they wanted a king who was rich and powerful with thrones and crowns and all the rest of it. The ones who cried Hosanna on Palm Sunday also cried Crucify him on Easter Day. But the king who died for us is a far more wonderful king. So how do we respond to this king? Well, on Palm Sunday, they waved their palm branches. Some of them took off their robes and laid them down for the donkey to walk into, over as it went into the city. But if Jesus is our king, then perhaps one of the best ways of showing that is doing what he says. So if kings are to be obeyed, maybe we should obey Jesus. So when Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," are we willing to obey him? When he said, "Do not judge and you will not be judged," are you willing to obey him? When he said, "Forgive and you will be forgiven," are we willing to obey him? When he said, "Give and it will be given to you," are we willing to obey him? And let's, on this Palm Sunday, respond to Jesus declaring himself to be king by saying, "I want to live as your follower."